League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your fourth Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast of the week. Too many, if anything. God, we're good to you. This one, of course, friends, we're back to normal business. Having recorded KOA 500 on Wednesday, this is now KOA 501. We move forward, and we move forward with a trip to Wolves on Saturday, which, of course, in the true spirit of the Premier League, is a monumentally massive, huge, titanic, Ruthian game of football. Six-pointer, probably a 12-pointer, if we're honest. Absolutely massive. And the only way we can build up to that, of course, is with the young guns. Rossi, the hairy one, really stretching that description of young guns now. How are you, my close to old friend?
I'm okay. Yeah, 28, so I'm on the cusp. So I'm in my 20s still, but I'm in my late 20s. So, yeah, this time next year I'll be 29, so I'm one off the 30.
The cutoff.
Yeah. Kick, you know, I'm going to get into, you know, so I'm going to get put into a shed and boom, done.
Wow.
What a way to start the podcast, as always, from Roscoe. But
Rossi well, being off. Like yeah. please don't do that, friend. AJ, you are still way beneath the 30-year-old cutoff. You are frankly disgustingly young, which annoys me every day, if I'm honest. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, every day. I assume Mark gets up and he has like a dartboard with my face on it. And he gets up and goes to his punching bag.
Well, I mean,
to be face on it.
No, I don't do that. It's just to be fair, whenever we put something in the chat about something that's happened like a few years ago, and then you always.
Oh, yes. That TV show was aired 15 years before I was born.
I was four. And I think you bastard. Anyway.
Yes. I'm okay. Given that, should I make up for the fact that the Watson of Wolverhampton's not here and show you all some Christmas tat on my table?
Yes.
Quickly? Come on, you want to see it. So my water glass today. Here we go. Christmas glass.
Wow.
Yeah, you love
Nutcracker.
That.
Nutcracker.
Yeah, Nutcracker. We've got this. I think it's a biscuit tin. That's cool, isn't it? Yeah.
Is there a cupboard where all these things are stored until Christmas?
There's a lot.
Is there? And they just all come out.
Yeah, and we haven't even scratched the surface of what's in that loft because the ladder has broken and we're all terrified to go upstairs to it, but one of us will have to go. This one's a good one as well that I'll just bring out. Don't make any comments. It's a candle. It's a candle. A nutcracker candle. There he is. Look at Ross. Stop looking like that. There he is. Look at that.
Wow. So, how much stuff would you say, as a rough estimate, is scattered around Jones Towers?
In terms of monetary value, somewhere between 2.8 and 3 million pounds. That would be my guess, yeah.
Fantastic. Rossi, we had a good time, KOA 500, didn't we? People should go back and listen to it, shouldn't they?
They should. If they got an hour and a half spare, then yeah, definitely. But we've got a trip to Wolves, so if you've left it for that, then that's a perfect
road trip,
you know, listen. So, but also watch the video version, so subscribe if you're not a subscriber already, because there's a lot of visual aspects to pod. So if you haven't already, subscribe. And there's a great deal on, isn't there? Our best deal probably ever.
Oh, there is, Ross. Thank you for mentioning it, my young friend. Yes, £25. If you pay £25 right now, you get coverage, our town coverage, all the way to the end of 2025, which is the best deal we've ever offered. Or if you're not so sure about things, you can get £6. You can get 6 months for £6. But obviously £25 for what, 13 months coverage? Whatever happens, that includes, obviously, that will be the January transfer window, that will be the summer, wherever town are, summer tours, summer trips, fixtures day, and then obviously the kickoff, hopefully in the Premier League season two next season. So a lot to look forward to. And in the spirit of things to look forward to, it's Wolves tomorrow, AJ. We're going to talk a bit more about the game itself in a minute, but we had the pre-match pressers yesterday, and quite a lot of interesting stuff came out of it. So I thought we'd start with a little pricey of that. So where do you want to start? I've got three main things jotted down. I've got injuries, always of interest. I've got McKenna talking about Aaron Muric, and what can only be described as an impassioned 4.5 minute, 5 minute monologue from McKenna talking about them conceding late goals. So obviously you were sat there having spoken to Cam Burgess. Where do you want to start with those?
Yeah, love a big Cam. That was good. Enjoyed that. Another one of those press conferences where you're going in thinking, I have nothing to ask. This is going to be really short. And then you come out and it's 30 minutes. So, yeah, that's kind of become the standard now. Let's start with Aaron Muric, I think, because this is the hot talking point, the thunder, the one that's going to split people.
Definitely.
So, yes, the quick bit of context, of course. Aaron Muric has made a few mistakes. Some of the fans would not like him to play starting football for Ipswich at the moment, made a mistake that led to a Bournemouth equaliser that kind of kickstarted their very, very, very late comeback. And with that, there's now more pressure on Kieran McKenna to make that goalkeeper switch. And he's been asked about this before. This is not the first time that this has happened. I mean, in terms of mistakes, and there's probably been four across the season that he's made. So this question has been asked before, and he's kind of stuck with Muric. And we've had the same again. And I think the answer is quite good, because you have to consider this on a human level as well. And it's kind of the side that I tried to argue when we discussed it on the pod earlier this week, in terms of looking at the good things that he'd done. And people often say, he's a goalkeeper, he's expected to make saves, but we, a striker's expected to score goals, and we still give them a lot of praise for when they do that. So I think it was good that Kieran recognised the stuff that he's done, the points that he's won for Ipswich, and the way that he's improving, and given us a bit of insight into the off-field stuff as well, the way that he's training, been really big on that. And also kind of offered a bit of insight into how hard it must be, because he's 20, I think he's still 25. He might be, he's in that 26 now. Yeah. I think that's been very, it's very recent. So just turned 26. He's had a few different spells, not played a great deal of like proper regular football, definitely not at this level. He's adjusting to a life in a totally new part of the world where the expectations are really, really high, and trying to balance all that with playing football in a position where, if you make a mistake, everything's on you. Usually in other positions, if you make errors, there's not that high a chance, or at least not as high a chance as a goalkeeper, that it's going to lead to a goal. Whereas if a goalkeeper makes a mistake, you're going to look like a massive tit. So that's essentially where it's kind of gone to. And with that, McKenna's been keen to stick by him. He's not, you know, necessarily said, well, Muric is going to be number one for the rest of the season or anything like that. But it's looking like that's going to be the way it is. And at the end of the day, I think that with that decision, the most important thing is to get behind him. And I think it's good that McKenna's spoken about him in that way, because obviously the noise surrounding his position has been louder and louder in kind of the last few weeks, and especially after what happened against Bournemouth.
Rossi, I know you talked about this on Monday about Muric, and McKenna was very keen yesterday to point out that he has made a lot of good saves, and he's particularly good at claiming crosses in terms of, you know, preventing chances for the opposition. Clearly there is an intense debate going on, it seems, among the fan base, and you can never really take too much from social media, because you know there's a kind of noisy minority often on there who go way over the top about things. But how are you feeling about Muric as a keeper going to Wolves?
As you just said, you know, those things, that is his job to catch and save and stuff, but you know, he is stepping up to the Premier League First time properly, isn't he? I know he made a few cameos at Burnley last year. I think he made 10 of those last appearances, but that was a Burnley team who were pretty much going down. But yeah, it's a big talking point this week, and especially after McKenna's quotes yesterday, people going, oh God. But, you know, you've got to back him. We've spent that sort of amount of money on him. I do feel sorry for Walton. He's just waiting and waiting. But we had this discussion last year, didn't we, when Lackey, Vaz, like how smooth, when he had a few little wobbles, we were like, get Walton in.
Yeah.
But then obviously, in the end, Vaz was just unbelievable. But how long do you leave it for Muric? Because we're in the Premier League. This is, you know, you get punished very easily. And we got punished because of a mistake there. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. But McKenna's backing him, so we'll have to follow suit and we'll see how he gets on. Or McKenna could just done that just as a little, I'm going to start him, but then tomorrow, he could start Walton. You never know.
That would be a surprise, I think. But anyway, we will see. We'll talk about the team, obviously, later on in the show. Right, getting back to pressers then, AJ. Injuries, very briefly yesterday, I guess. We know the long-term ones. There's an update on Calvin Phillips and Ben Johnson, wasn't there? Which is essentially that they're somewhere in that netherland between being 100% fit and injured. They can be on the bench and maybe even play, but they're not 100%.
Yeah, the injury update, probably in the best possible way, is that there is no real update, to be perfectly honest, and that's good. McKenna was asking about how is it in terms of managing the injuries. That was something that Stu asked, and he said, look, at the end of the day, we don't want to sit here and make excuses, but it's hard in particular when you've got attacking absentees, namely Hurst and Ogbene, you'd say, more than anyone, and you can't do what Bournemouth did and just bring on four fresh attackers who are totally like for like, like Town were able to do in the Championship last year. In terms of the individuals, we know what the long-term ones are, and those are frustrating. And then, yes, looking at Phillips and Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson started against Bournemouth. I think he did quite well, although he was caught a bit high for the goal, but yeah, it seems like he's still not quite 100%, even though he played in that one. And Calvin Phillips, we haven't seen play in quite a long time now, haven't we? So he's kind of been someone where, I guess, from Ipswich's perspective, they've got fairly good depth there, given that Jens has been able to play consistently, and even if Phillips was fit, I don't think he'd be starting over Kajusta or Morsey at the moment. And Jack Taylor, I thought, came in and did really, really well against Bournemouth. So there are the options there, but I think it is definitely a frustration when it comes to Calvin Phillips, given all the hype around him, given how excited we all were, and given the ceiling that he has. It's now been quite an extended run without the team. And it does get to a point as well where you've got to look at it and say, how long is it going to take for him to get up to speed? Because we've been waiting for that for quite a while. And now he's missed, what, 3-4 games at least so far. Mm. That's just going to be a big setback in terms of getting him up to the 100% Calvin Phillips that we saw 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, it's still an ankle, isn't it? He's working through, I believe. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. Then final talking point. Then it literally was a talking point because McKenna got asked about conceding late goals. McKenna always answers questions thoughtfully and fulsomely, but this was this was extraordinary even for McKenna, wasn't it, AJ?
I think I put in the live blog that this is the longest answer I've ever heard McKenna give in a press conference or anything like that. And if you ask a good question, McKenna will talk. He will really go for it. But this was, this was pretty extraordinary. This was just more than just under a 5-minute monologue in terms of discussing this. So it was kind of based around the stat that Ipswich have lost the most points from winning positions. There's quite a few examples of that. And he went through and he kind of said, well, when you look at it, there's some examples in there that I think are run fair. And he cites the Man City one. Well, yeah, we lost from being ahead, but how many teams will go 1-0 up at Man City after, what, about 4 minutes or something like that? And it was always going to be a bit of an onslaught after that. So that was kind of expected. And he looked at things like the Leicester and the Brentford games were two really good examples there. And he said, well, Leicester, he was adamant that they shouldn't have been down to 10 men. And if they're not, then something different could happen. And then he said the same about Brentford. So again, you can caveat those two with quite controversial decisions. So he said, actually, when you look at it, the only ones I'd be saying we're disappointed with the way that we've thrown away the result from a winning position was the Bournemouth game. That would be the only real one that he was looking at. So, and then on the flip side, you've got to look at the one that they gained, for example, away at Southampton, where they conceded early on and then scored right at the death. Maybe a bit fortunate with that one. So it does go both ways. And I think McKenna was kind of, quite keen and quick to caveat the fact that it's not just about taking stats at face value, especially things like that. You've got to think deeper into it. The fact that Town were down to 10, probably unjustly down to 10 in both, you could say. And that's always going to make things harder. So, buying into that stat too much is never really the right way of looking at it.
Mm. Right then, press conference done. Time for talking is over. Time for playing football is almost upon us, Rossi. And it's another huge, it feels like every game is big in the Premier League because there's not many of them. But clearly this is a huge game against the side again, right down there, mired in the relegation struggle with them, and a side under huge pressure, a side with a boss who has just been given the dreaded vote of confidence. And you'd imagine, hopefully, the crowd could turn if Town can start well. So, how are you feeling as you head to Wolves tomorrow.
Making sure to wrap up because, I was just speaking to the Wolves guy and he said, it's going to be a bit chilly in the Midlands. But this is a game, I wouldn't say it's like the Evertons and the Leicesters of that because obviously they were like must-win games in some, six-pointers. And this one does, I'm a bit on the fence about it because, they've got that manager who's potentially going to get booted if we score early, then we'll turn that crowd. He said the Wolves fans have got no patience at the moment. I think they said 99% of the Wolves fan base, they want him gone. And also, we played Wolves last year, didn't we, in the Carabao Cup. They were cruising for one stage and we came back to win 3-2. I don't know. I'm changing my thoughts as I speak.
You are, aren't you?
I don't know. It's a weird one to predict because, we've been here before where we've gone, and these sort of games, I don't know.
I'm not sure you to predict it just yet, but yeah. I mean, are you going there thinking, oh, Christ, or are you going there thinking, we can get something out of this?
No, I don't know. I'll be happy with a draw because... I don't know. It's going to be a tricky one because they've got some good players. Once again, you look at like all these Premier League squads, they've got some great players. Like Cunha, obviously, if he doesn't turn up though, Wolves are rubbish. So just we've got to stop him and then we can get a win. I'm not as positive as say other games I was going into because it's away from home. Monu can be a tough place to go. They've not got a great record there. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one. So I'm not positive. I'm not,
Negative.
You're somewhere
in the middle.
I'm wary. Yeah.
Okay. And Ross, I've just seen you've tweeted. So to remind people, you've got the fan social, which is risen Undertaker-like from the grave to return. And there's going to be another show tonight, right?
Yeah, live. We'll do a proper preview. I may change my feelings by that point, maybe. Maybe I'll be confident going, we're going to win this 4-0 and see you later, Gary O'Neill. Get him sacked.
If you've had four pints by then.
Yeah, pretty much. But 8 p.m. live, be there. If not, watch it again after it's been live.
So where is it? It's on YouTube, is it on Facebook? Is it on
And X, Twitter.
X. Yeah. Excellent. So join Rossi and the gang then. AJ, how are you feeling about this this very important trip to Wolves? I mean, obviously another thing that McKenna said yesterday was that he's never called anything a 6-pointer. But if you look at this, where the sides are and the implications, and then look in the dictionary at the definition of 6-pointer, this is pretty much that.
Yeah, that was the most Ross answer we've had in a long time. That was really good.
I'm going to cut that out straight away, but I'll cut that out. Redo.
No, that's staying in. In terms of where I'm at for this, I think it is huge. I really do, because if they were to lose this game, it then becomes a really difficult one because you're looking at a 4-point gap to anyone basically above them apart from Southampton, and then it's kind of like it feels like it's the rest of the teams fighting to over one spot, and you want to just make sure that the gap is as close as possible, especially with the Christmas fixtures coming up, because there will be teams above them that have kinder fixtures. There will be teams above them that don't have to host Newcastle and go to Arsenal and host Chelsea and go to Fulham and all of those horrible things that Ipswich are going to have to do over the next few weeks. In terms of what they've got in the squad, it's definitely attacking quality that you look at. Funnily enough, exactly what Ross said about Cunha, I think, is what I've written word for word in my Meet the Opposition bit. If you can stop him, Wolves tend to kind of collapse a bit, but stopping him is quite difficult. 7 goals, 3 assists. One of the kind of surprise packages of the season, really good player, but they've got others there in terms of Jorgen Strand Larsen was another one that Kieran McKenna picked out. He's got 6 goals, 2 assists as well. Generally quite an attacking side, and they've flip-flopped between playing a back five and a back four. And I don't think Gary O'Neill has any clue about what he wants to do between those two formations. Played with the back four for a bit, and then they switched to a five, and they've lost their last 3 games. So it is tricky in that sense. They've got a suspension there as well. João Gomes is someone who's been really important for them. He started all 15 of the Premier League games, but picked up 5 bookings, so he isn't going to be able to play. So trying to piece together where Wolves are going to go with this is quite difficult, but you can't ignore the quality that they've got there. Maybe not necessarily a team that has the confidence to go and string that together over 90 minutes, as apart from the games that they've had, probably the Fulham one, it's the only exception where they won 4-1. But take the West Ham game, where I largely thought they were not great, they're pretty bad. They just had one moment quality, a brilliant cross from Ike Nouri and Doherty with a great finish. And that's what teams can do. If they're playing badly, that all it needs is one little bit of space to score. So, yeah, this is huge. Obviously, it feels kind of similar to the Palace game because we're going in with two teams that are level on points as well. And yeah, in terms of just stopping what the last few games have been, because that's obviously not been great either, has it, in terms of Kieran McKenna? Think about that. He lost his midweek unbeaten record at Portman Road. I think Palace were the first team to win at Portman Road under him in a midweek game. And then with the Bournemouth one, that was the first time he's lost back-to-back home league games as well. Three defeats on the bounce is not a Kieran McKenna thing, and four would be a bit of a confidence blow, body blow, going into that horrible run, and then you're starting to look at the table and think it's going to be a bit of a mountain to climb.
Rossi, obviously you've just recorded your Oppo lowdown video, which will be available for subscribers in due course. So other than what we've already discussed, the fact that clearly the boss is under pressure, you've mentioned Kuna there, and the fact clearly they're in the thick of it. What else can you tell us about Wolves? They concede a lot of goals, don't they?
And set pieces, especially. So we've been getting close, haven't we? Getting close, Cameron Burgess, Dyer O'Shea, Jacob Greaves early in the season. So set pieces could be Town's, big threat in this game. So I'm sure McKenna will know that. They'll know that, I'm sure. But he said they're conceding too many set pieces. So we need to make sure we get as many corners as possible. Leif Davis, mate, if you're listening, be on it. Get those balls in. So we've got to score goals as soon as possible. I think, as I said, if we score early, that will turn that crowd, and hopefully that will be another win on Town's season, because it needs to be done, don't it? We need to get this win, don't we? We really do. But they've got threats, as AJ said, up top. Defensively, it can be a bit shaky, but they've got players who are playing the Premier League. You know, once again, that's when you look into, when every go into all these games, just Premier League experience, Premier League quality. Obviously, Town are still learning, but we're in December now. They need to step up. So, Wolves are not a team to fear, but still got that threat there.
Got to take them light. Can't take them lightly, though, can you? Yeah. As anyone in the Premier League. AJ, how much do you think the boss pressure factor might factor into this game? Because he lost the wonderfully named El Sakiko on Monday against West Ham. A lot of fans thought he'd go then, and then he's been given the vote of confidence, the dreaded vote of confidence from the chairman yesterday, in fact. So clearly he's a man under a lot of pressure going into this game. And this will be, as big as this game is for Town, it's just as big for him, isn't it?
Yeah, in terms of his immediate future, I'm not too sure necessarily. Clubs don't like to sack managers around Christmas. It's a bit of a kick, isn't it? Like, Merry Christmas, you're out of a job. So I'm not too sure. And the fact that it's kind of vote confidence, a lot of the pieces that I've read, kind of, they'll give him time to turn things around. I know their chairman did a piece for the local paper, which kind of said, you know, the manager O'Neill came to us in a tough spot, and he helped us get to where we are, and he had faith in us, so we have to have faith in him. It's quite funny thinking about it. I remember when Wolves came to Portman Road last year, and O'Neill was also under a load of pressure and had to kind of deal with big press questions about his future as well. So in terms of where it leaves him in the longer term, not too sure, especially because they've got Leicester on the 22nd. Potentially that could be a bit more of a kind of a make or break game, I'd say, if they were to, say, lose both of the next two. In terms of what it could do for this game on an individual level, I think it could be huge, because the fans probably know him. I'd say that he's unlikely to get sacked after this match, regardless of what happens. And so if they put in a pretty crap start, let's say, and concede, fans are going to just be thinking, well, this is awful. It's not going to work. It's a stay of execution. But when's it going to happen? How much time are you going to give it? So that's the big thing. And I do think it's a crowd that can be turned. But we said that about other crowds before, West Ham, namely, and a couple of others, about trying to turn things like that, and they've been able to do it at times and not at others. So I think definitely it is going to play a big part in that, because there is a lot of negativity. If you look at probably across the Premier League at the moment, this is the one club where you'd say things are starting to turn to a toxic level.
The vibes department, not vibing at Wolves.
Not vibing at all.
Not vibing. And of course, the vibes department, despite what's happening at Town, remains strong, Rossi. So let's have a little think about the Town side. We've already talked about Muric. I want to know what you do with the starting 11. You hate these questions, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So if you were manager, and that would be a tremendously fun adventure, would you be starting Muric tomorrow, or would you go for Walton, who, lest us not forget, didn't actually play at all in the Championship last season? So he'd be stepping up, as AJ pointed out. I know he has played in the Championship before, but he'd be stepping up from League One to the Premier League. Clearly, he's already played against Liverpool, but it would be out of the frying pan, as it were, and very much into a big fire.
Yeah, it would be. And I think maybe people are not looking into that as much. Because, Walton did play well against Liverpool, but then he hasn't played a single game since the Wimbledon game, which was obviously in August as well, and we lost that game on penalties. Obviously they train really hard. You know, I think they've got a good unit there, obviously with Kieran Slicker as well, who I saw McKenna said he's got, the club have got huge potential on holding him. So, but then I think Slicker needs to go on loan at some point anyway. I don't know if Walton, what sort of character is he? Is he one that will, go, come on, look at all this. I've seen this. It's on my Twitter. Look.
I'm not sure Christian Walton's on Twitter.
No, but I'm sure he's sort of hearing all this and going, but I don't think he's that character who will go, come on, got to start me. But if I've got the role, I think you've got to stick with Muric just for one more game. And if he doesn't have a mare, it costs us. But then people would shout me and went, Ross, well, don't let him cost us. Get Walton back in. But you've got to stick with him because we spent that amount of money on him. McKenna's backed him already. We'll see how he gets on in this one. And over Christmas period, McKenna may have a look at swapping it around. But he doesn't do that, does he? So I'm going to stick with Muric as well.
Can you imagine that? Like the knock on the door. McKenna's office. Walton comes in. Boss, I've done a poll on Twitter. says I should play. What are you going to do about it? Kieran just goes, get out. Yeah. Okay, so Muric, we reckon, is going to play. Oh, I'd be very surprised if that isn't the case. Mm. What about the back line, though, Rossi? So we've had Ben Johnson, who is carrying a bit of an injury. Obviously, Harry Clark's around. Dara O'Shea's played right back as well. Cameron Burgess has been imperious since coming in for Jacob Greaves. Is there an argument at all for Jacob Greaves to come back in? What would you do with that back line?
Yeah, I'll keep with Ben Johnson. I thought he had okay game against Bournemouth. I think obviously at the end he was knackered, weren't he? Because he hasn't played for a while. So keep Ben Johnson. Dara Shah, I think, is set in stone. I think he's been really good. And then, Cameron Burgess, Jacob Greaves. Once again, Burgess, presser, that doesn't always mean he's going to start. They just, get a little guessing game there. But I'm going to back Cameron Burgess. I know we spent a lot of money on Jacob Greaves, but I'll keep Cameron Burgess for this one. I think Jacob Greaves maybe still trying to get up to speed as well, that injury. So I'll give good old Cam and have a start, and obviously Davis. So that's my back line.
Good old Cam. Where do you stand on the Greaves Burgess thing, AJ? Because obviously Greaves started the season and looked tremendous and then got injured. And we've seen him, he made a mistake. I can't remember which game it was it? When he was, it was Palace, wasn't it? When he was kind of shrugged off for the match-winning goal. And Burgess, to be fair, despite starting the season as the backup, he's been really good since he's come in.
It all feels a bit Walton Vaz, doesn't it? Where you've got someone who's performing well, picks up an injury, and when you come back from an injury, you need a run of games to get back up to speed. You're not going to come back in. It was not great from Greaves. He's a big boy. He shouldn't be kind of nudged off the ball and lose his footing in the way he did against Mateta. But at the end of the day as well, you've got to think about, even for a centre-back, it does take time to get back up to match speed, given the fact he'd been out for the best part of 2 months, I think it was. That's quite a long time. And I just think it's going to be really hard because Cameron Burgess has been really good. I can't think of pretty much any mistakes that he's made at all. I think that he's also shown a big improvement in the way that he's played. I thought aerially he's always been good. And I remember writing in my player ratings kind of at the start, just a bit concerned about his kind of work when the ball's on the floor in terms of tackling and things like that. And literally in the space of 2-3 weeks, he's got right up to the level and now looks excellent. Performance against Bournemouth was his best that I've seen in the Town shirt. I asked him about that. He said it was probably his best that he's had in the Town shirt as well. And with that, I don't think that you can drop a player in that form. And that is hard because you've then got a £15 million centre-back who doesn't make the squad. And that is going to be something in the back of McKenna's mind. But where they are at the moment, I would not be looking to take Cameron Burgess out of the starting lineup.
Incredible. I can't think of a player, certainly not at Town, that's had the kind of restoration arc that Burgess has had, Rossi. I mean, from that dark, horrible, miserable defeat at Barrow in the FA Cup, where he was, let's be honest, he was torn a new one by League Two or struggling League Two strikers. And now he's playing in the Premier League and he's holding his own and he's shining. It's been absolutely tremendous, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously we've spoken about his journey so much, but yeah, it's incredible. You know, from, you know, signing from Accrington Stanley to start off, and now he's playing in the Premier League. Yeah, he never thought this would ever happen. And obviously, he's now won caps for Australia multiple times. Obviously, he's got the dream of playing in the World Cup one day. Hopefully, that is the case with him. It's an incredible story. And he's a lovely bloke as well. You know, a gentle giant in a way. When he's on the pitch, show, he's like, yeah, knocks it all out. Sly tackles, large disc tackles and everything. But yeah, it's great to see. And once again, the club brought in players like this to build on, and you know, because he was highly rated, you know, once upon a time at Fulham and everything, and you know, he's just had an unbelievable journey, and yeah, I hope it continues.
Right, let's talk midfield then, AJ. So obviously Sam Morsy, until he gets this booking, if he gets it, because he's doing very well to toe that line or tread that line. So Sam Morsy clearly is going to be one of them. We know Calvin Phillips is carrying a knock. We know that Jack Taylor played very well when he came in, but also Jens Kajusta has been impressing. I've been so impressed with Kajusta. But clearly, again, he's got a knee issue that he's managing, and can he play so many games, et cetera, et cetera. So where would you go with this one for this game?
Well, Sam Morsy, for starters. I think the frustration with him, is, I think it's been pointed out, when I was watching him play against Bournemouth last week, it felt like he played 90 minutes knowing that he couldn't get a yellow card. And I just wanted him to at the end of the day, if you're going to get suspended, you're going to get suspended. From his perspective, I think he would have hated to have got suspended in that game. Got there in the end because he's a Wolves boy, isn't he? This is his club.
Of course, yeah.
And he's spoken a lot about his dislike of West Brom, for example, things like that. So that he would, he's going to love the opportunity to play against Wolves at Molineux. And I just hope we see a bit more of what we're used to from Sam Morsy, that destructive aggression, and then also all the on-the-ball stuff as well. Next to him, I guess this is a bit of a tricky one because Jack Taylor's come in, played well enough not to be dropped, but I think will probably be dropped, to be perfectly honest, because, again, Jens Kajusta was rested for the Bournemouth game. He has been absolutely excellent in every game since he's played against Tottenham. Every single one since then, he's been fantastic. It's silky smooth. I keep saying that about him, but it's the best way I can think of describing him. Does the off the ball work, just so fun and calm to watch on the ball. And I think that's really important to have in this team, especially next to Morsy, who's going to try and be a little bit more of the opposite. So I'd go with Morsy and Kajusta. I think that's going to be the long-term aim. I know we're going to get onto it, but spoiler alert, that's my only change in this team.
Okay, well, let's go forward anyway. Clearly, Rossi, there's no question around the striker. Liam Delap has to play, even if he's got his leg hanging off, he's going to start. But the three behind, we talked about it before, and I was pleased that McKenna took my advice, I've got to be honest, for the last game by playing Smodics, Chaplin and Amari. AJ's already said that he wouldn't change that. Would you look to be tickling things there?
Not really. I know there's illness in the camp, so whoever's got the sniffles, are they going to be strong enough for Saturday? We shall see. Because I know it was Amari who missed one game because he was ill.
Yeah.
What was it?
Sneeze on the Wolves players, get them ill, and then they won't play as badly.
Yeah, true. Very much so. But now you keep it because it's been doing okay. Obviously, there was two games where we didn't create anything, but Bournemouth was much better. So, stick with that forward line. So, you know, don't muck about with it. But once again, Jack Clark, as we already mentioned, off the bench, he's just not, I don't like it. Sorry, Jackie boy. But you know, I like to see you start, but when he has started, he hasn't done as much as you hope. He, you know, a lot of people, you know, made him the new scapegoat because he's not maybe stepped up to the level, but his first time playing in the Premier League. So give him a little break, But that will be my forward line going forward until someone breaks a bone or something.
Don't say that. Why are you saying that? What are you doing, mate?
Can I throw a little bit of an interesting one in? I am going to stick with my gun, so I think it'll be those three. The Nathan Broadhead thing is interesting. Now, he didn't come off the bench against Bournemouth. I think that's because he does not have a single defensive bone in his body, and bringing him on while Tamworth 1-0 up would have been not an enjoyable experience. However, I think he's been knocking on the door a bit more. I would not be dropping Smodic given his record of scoring away from home, but I do think he's getting there, and I do think he deserves the opportunity. I know there's going to be a lot of question marks around Nathan Broadhead going into January, but every time I've seen him come off the bench when Town are chasing games, he's looking more and more lively and impressive, given that he's not been playing pretty much any football, to be perfectly honest. And yeah, I think he's getting there, and hopefully we'll see a bit more of him, at least off the bench. A bit more time to change things. I don't think that, especially in the next few weeks, there's probably not going to be that many games where Town are seeing out a lead in the dying stages against the likes of Arsenal and Chelsea, for example. So coming off the bench, I think he's a really good option to have. And yeah, hope we see a bit more of him.
Just on Liam Delap as well, AJ, obviously I've joked there that he has to start every game. And let's be honest, he does. But I know you boys were saying he looked really kind of like he was running on fumes last time out. Do you think there's ever going to be a scenario, other than, you know, the dreaded injury to him, where he doesn't start in this period?
No, I don't.
There we go.
No, yeah, I don't think so. I think as well with the Bournemouth game, it was hard because he'd had to play Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, and that is hard for someone as well. In the Championship, he hasn't really had a consistent season, has he? At least in terms of performing in his first two loan spells at Stoke and Preston, he wasn't playing a lot, wasn't scoring a lot, and goes to Hull, has the knock. And people say, oh, you know, with Championship players, they should be able to handle this, that the midweek games and playing three times in a week, sure, but you've got to do it at Premier League intensity, and that's a whole different kettle of fish. So, especially for the younger players, that's something that McKenna brought up, and that will be the case for Amari. It will definitely be the case for Delap as well, in terms of having to be calm and physical and combative and aggressive and a threat in the final third. But when it got to how he got to 80 minutes against Bournemouth, you could see he's getting to the final third. He'd have like Leif Davis next to him begging for the pass. He'd like look up, deer in the headlights, turn around, try and spin backwards and give away possession. And he just looked knackered. So I'm really hoping that the 3 week will give him the time to rest up, because obviously the fixtures are going to be coming quite regularly in the next kind of, 2-3 weeks.
The Christmas crunch. Mm-hmm. Right then. Prediction time, boys. Dreaded prediction time. I'm going to have to stick with AJ here because I think you are still leading the way.
I am.
Of course you are. I am way, way, way at the bottom. I can't find any sort of rhythm this season, unsurprisingly. So, AJ, what are you saying? None of us got anything right last week. I think I said win. The rest of you said draw, and obviously ended up being a defeat.
Yeah.
So, how are we feeling about this one? He says slightly hesitantly.
I wanted a 2-2 last week. I know Stu wanted that. He was then trying to change it last time out. And I came within 3 minutes of getting a score prediction spot on before Bournemouth went and won it. With this one, and the fact that Wolves seemingly are yet to kind of learn how to defend, I think that I can see goals in it. I think the 3 week will do Ipswich a lot of good. And yeah, all of that in mind, 2-2 draw is the way I'm going to go for it. I can't see them necessarily getting the win, to be perfectly honest, but I do think that it'll probably be an okay result. And I do see goals in it, so I'm going to go 2-2.
Who's going to score first?
Sammy Smodic, because Ipswich are playing away from home, and that's just how it works.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
Rossi. So AJ has got 2-2 draw, Sammy Smodic. You couldn't make up your mind earlier in the show whether you're positive or negative or indeed in the middle, and I'm assuming you're now going to say it might be a draw, a defeat, or a draw, or a win, or a draw. What do you reckon?
Ooh, head versus heart, ladies and gentlemen. Heart goes Town win. Come on, boys. Head goes draw, because that's just a on-the-fence answer.
Are you ruling out the defeat then? Yeah, taking out the equation. Not going to happen.
Nah, Wolves are
old. I like it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So I'm going to go for a town win. You know what? Come on, boys. On the road. Do a Spurs. 2-1. Sam Morsy to score first against his hometown club.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be. Love that. Scream.
Celebrate. I mean, he hasn't played for Wolves, has he?
He'll just go, this is what you could have won. Because I think I was reading, a Wolves like academy manager said, yeah, he's not good enough. And obviously he had to drop down to League Two. And obviously he's had that great rise. But this is what you could have won, boys. So 2-1, Sam will score first. Maybe a late winner involved as well. You know, I won't tease who would do that late winner. Maybe a Karen Berger late winner as well.
Because he just has set piece.
So, so that's my prediction.
Okay, so I think we've got a 2-1 with Sam Morsy scoring first, which would be a brilliant narrative. So 2-2, 2-1. I'm going to say, just because I'm so far behind, I'm going to keep being contrary, and I'm going to say a town win as well, because I need to start getting some results. So I'm going to say, Ross has said 2-1. I think, like AJ says, clearly on paper you'd say there's going to be goals in this game. So I'll stick with my prediction from last week. Why not? In the words of Rossi, 3-2. Ipswich Town in a pulsating back and forth 6-point matchup. And I will say, this is the game where they score from a set piece, and hopefully it'll be the first goal. So I'll say Big Cam, because that seems to be the trajectory that he's on. So 3-2, Big Cam from me, which clearly, if you look at my record, will be completely wrong. Rossi, 2-1, Morsy, which would be brilliant. Slightly more likely to be right than mine, and AJ. The stats show most likely to be right to all Sammy Smodics. So there we go. There's our predictions. Anything else to mention, boys? We've done a short pod today because we've been podding so much this week. I feel like that's all I've been doing pretty much. Anything else to mention though, boys?
Here's a question for you. So whenever I try and do an accent, as Stu said to me before, I end up going Yorkshire. Happens for every single one. And the one that I could never crack, full stop, is some sort of like Brummy Wolverhampton. Can anyone do it? Is it like possible? Can anyone manage it? I just cannot get near it.
It's like Birmingham, isn't it?
That's all I can do.
I'm terrible at accents, I've got to be honest.
It's any of them. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
How about you, Rossi? Can you do some accents?
Not really. I could barely, speak English, to be honest. I've got a good Suffolk accent, but obviously I was born with it. But I spoke to the Wolves guy, and he's got a proper, Wolverhampton accent. Yeah. So subscribe and watch that to hear his lovely accent. I don't mind any accent, to be honest.
The Brummy accent versus the classic Suffolk of Roscoe. Rossi, we should let the people know that you are currently embroiled in a dispute because you've missed out on your Christmas hamper.
Oh.
Which is tremendous. This is classic Ross. So we've all loved touch, actually. Every year we get sent a Christmas hamper by the company, which is good. This year's is particularly good. It's full of excellent stuff. Just looking at it, you put about a stone on. There's so many calories in there. So we've all had ours, and Rossi's like, where's mine? And it turns out, Ross, it's gone to your former address and has been sent back. I mean, there couldn't be a more classic case of Roscoe at Christmas, this.
Yeah, obviously I moved house in May, and I didn't really think about changing my address on our system because I just thought, I'm going to move house again eventually. So I just didn't really bother. And then I thought, actually, I needed to, for my payslips, I needed the current address I live in for my solicitors to look at. So I changed it, I think, in October, late October. And then, when you guys told me, I was like, I haven't got it yet. Stu was still waiting for his, but then he got it yesterday. So I was like, oh, dear. So yesterday I was out and about, and I thought, you know what? I'm sort of nearby my old house. So I went there. Obviously, a lady opened it, and I just sort of went, sheepishly just went, hi, yeah, I used to live here. Is there been a package delivered? She went, yeah, she's got a Ring doorbell. And I wasn't in, and obviously it rang. And then it said, oh, we've got a package here for Ross. She went, oh, it doesn't live here anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. And I sent it back. So, yeah, I've spoken to HR this morning, and there's some promising signs. She, the lady, and said, don't worry, it happens. We'll keep you in the loop and do our best to get you one. So they're going to redirect it, apparently. So we shall see. I'm just going to double check my address is definitely
Yeah, that'd be the next thing. You put the wrong address in.
Yeah.
So we are. I mean, this is a classic Christmas story. This of despair.
It's those bloody Ring doorbells. This happened. We obviously had this on Monday. Well, we've got one. I've got one for my family.
Oh, you know, I've got to be honest. I would have made a lot more of that.
I know you would.
I think you got away lightly. I know you would because as soon as you have a themed Christmas doorbell.
Yeah. As soon as I finished and I went upstairs and told my family what happened, they said, "What was Mark's reaction?" I said, "He's off." So, yeah, was quite lucky I dodged that one. It is a themed setting with the doorbell that we have. So yeah, I got a Ring doorbell for my family for Christmas about 3 years ago. We put it up about 2 months ago, so that's good. We have a chime for it downstairs now, but it also goes off on all the Alexas in every single room. We have quite a few of them, including one up here, which is now unplugged, thank God, just in case anyone was going to come to the door. But it had elves singing Carol of the Bells before going, "Someone's at the door." Which, of course, happened as I was talking about quite an important subject of Connor Chaplin scoring in all four divisions. I was interrupted.
Who sets that on?
That's what she's done. So, there are quite a few, like, just terrible ones, and there's stuff you can like have for people that come to the door as well. So you can have, they've got Anton Deck, for example. So if you ring the door, you can set it so it says, "If you want someone to come to the door, then make sure you shout out 3, 2, 1, I've got a really big package," which I think would be really good if the postman came to ring the doorbell and then had to listen to that. But Ring doorbell woes has definitely been a bit of a thing from the last.
I didn't even know you could do that. I've got a Ring doorbell. In fact, the entire house is linked up on CCTV via Ring. I didn't even know you could do that. Frankly, now I do know.
Have you got the app?
Yes, absolutely. Of course,
you can do it through the app.
Well, I'm not going to do it through the app because I'm a grown up.
You are sat in, but in front of a Lego set,
mate. I've told you already. Lego is not for kids. This is a serious business, and this is.
Can you open the doors on it?
Absolutely. It's got the doors. It's got the suicide doors.
And it lights up, doesn't it?
Oh. It does. Look at that.
Oh, it's so mentally stimulating.
don't start, mate. You want me to bring out receipts? What's the XG? What's the PPDA?
Are you trying to say that numbers and data are for kids and that Lego is not?
Oh, no, not for kids, just nerds.
I wasn't. We weren't talking about that.
Anyway, right. Alex is going to be fired now. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. Right, that brings us to the end of a short preview podcast ahead of Wolves, because we've done so much podcasting this week. Quite frankly, I'm sure you're bored of all of us. But go back and listen to it if you've not already. KOA 500, a spectacular episode featuring the return of two legendary kings, Hutchzilla, Hutch Hogan, Andy Warren, and the big porker, Mike Bacon, both joined us for that show. There's obviously also an FPL pod to go back and listen to as well. And there's also a live pod tonight. So it's going to be five pods this week, but you won't be able to listen to that back. You'll have to go and watch that live, or indeed watch it back as Rossi hosts Fan Social Friends. So just a reminder, support us, not our sponsors, because we don't have a sponsor. Support us on social media, Kings of Anglia on Twitter, X, Facebook, TikTok. How are we doing on TikTok, AJ?
Ticking along nicely.
Ticking along nicely on TikTok. Excellent. Yeah. YouTube, Instagram, we're on there as well. And also the three of us are on Blue Sky. If you've migrated onto that particular platform, we're all there. Stewie is not. I'm getting multiple requests pretty much on a daily basis for Stu to join Blue Sky. He's yet to show any sort of interest in that. And also, friends, leave us a five-star review if you could. It just helps us lift us visibility-wise in the charts. Rossi, you look like you've got something to say. No?
No, I was just looking. I want to quickly mention the women's team. They've got an FA Cup clash this Sunday at Felixstowe. Their rearranged game because their last game against Bournemouth in the FA Cup got postponed because of Storm Dar and, you know, just rain. So, big game. And if they win, they've got a trip to Manchester City.
Oh, of course, yeah.
League. So, a big one. Big game. So, if you can't go to Wolves and fancy a bit of footy, then go down to Felixstowe at the Martello Ground. 1 p.m. kickoff, I think. I think it is 1 o'clock because it's an FA Cup fixture.
On Sunday?
Sunday, yes.
Sunday, okay.
Bournemouth.
Excellent. Well, good luck.
And hopefully Bournemouth don't beat them, because Bournemouth have beaten Town at first team level, under 21 level, and under 18 level. So
please. That's all been really recently, hasn't it? Like in the last week or so.
Yeah, because the under 18s got knocked out of the Youth Cup on Wednesday night. So yeah, no Youth Cup run this year, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed. Good luck to the ladies. It sounds like they've got certainly the best chance of bucking that trend, I'd imagine. Friends, it's a big game this weekend. If you're going, please try and enjoy it, whatever the outcome. The boys will all be there. So if you can't be there, follow it with them. And we'll be back again next time to break it all down. Have a great weekend and we'll speak to you then.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.